We're going to take a break from our normal journey through the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to look at a passage in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 22. And so as you're turning to Matthew 22, let me start out with two questions for you. This summer, at some point, or maybe, you know, leading up to summer, did you get one of those beautiful invitations in the mail that told you that you were being invited to come celebrate a wedding where someone you knew, maybe two people, man and woman that you knew, decided to make a public declaration for all to see that they were in love and they're committing to each other for the rest of their lives? And the second question I have for you is, did you actually go? Because just getting the invitation doesn't always guarantee that you're able to make it. In fact, I'm actually thinking about this passage and this invitation in my own life because I recently got back from one of the most beautiful weddings I've ever been to in my life. There was a number of us from the church, and our own pastor, Parker, officiated the wedding. And the invite came in the mail, and it's two people I love, and they invited me and my whole family. But it was a destination wedding. They wanted me to drive 10 hours and meet them on an island in Washington to celebrate and to feast and to actually stay overnight at the wedding. And it's one of the most joyful things you can do, is to be with friends and family. Some of the closest people in my life were going to be there. Two people I love, to watch them get married. And yet my initial reaction was, I don't think I can make that. That is going to be a big burden to figure out how to get up there and get all my kids. How do I get my car on a ferry? And how do we stay overnight and get ready for a wedding? So my initial thought was, I don't think I can make that. I'm so glad I did, because as I said, it turned out to be one of the most beautiful weddings I've ever been to. And I'm sure you've had experiences in your own life where there's an amazing invitation to do something that would be so fun on paper, but the logistics of actually getting there are kind of challenging. And with that picture in your mind, we're actually going to find an exact overlay for how Jesus describes what it's like to come into the kingdom of God. And that's something that we're going to talk about today at Church in the Park, and that's something we're actually going to invite people into, to come into the kingdom of God. I'm going to send an invite to the whole park that they are invited to be members and citizens in the kingdom of God. And to do that, I'm going to share a story that Jesus shares about a wedding. And so read along with me in Matthew chapter 22. It says, "And Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables and said, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged for his son to be married.'" And so every parable, we do our best to not overinterpret, but to try to figure out who is being represented in the stories of the parable. And very simply, as we go through this, on the outset, you can see that Jesus is about to describe something that is going to be represented in the Father and the Son and those who he invites into the kingdom. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. This is the Father God. And he's got a son, this is Jesus, and he's inviting people to celebrate a union with Christ. So this is a message of salvation. This is a message that goes out to say, the Father has sent his son into the world and everybody's invited to be part of the feast, coming together with Jesus. And so he sends his servants in this story. It says in verse 3, the servants go out to call all those who were invited to the wedding. And yet they were not willing to come. They get the invite, they hear the message, and they aren't willing to come. That'll be true this event that we have today at Church in the Park, that there will be an invite to experience the radical love of God, the free gift of salvation, to be one with God and be entered into his kingdom. And no doubt there will be some that hear that don't want to come. And Jesus will tell us why that is. Why is it that some people could hear that there is a free gift of salvation that gives them access to the kingdom of God and citizenship in heaven, and yet they won't come? It says, that he sent out his servants. Some were not willing. They just didn't want to come. They were totally uninterested in the message of the gospel. They were totally uninterested in a wedding. They got the invite and they thought, no, I really don't want to go celebrate. I don't want to go to a feast. I don't want to hang out with the king. I don't want to be in the presence of the son. And isn't that the case? You know, right now, for the last month, we've been inviting people to come, in a sense, to a big giant feast and to enjoy the invitation, to see people become members of the kingdom, to watch people give their life to Christ, to be part of some of those people who would. And this is just how it goes. Some people are like, don't care. I don't care about church. I don't care about God. I'm totally indifferent. And maybe some of you felt that way in your life before the Lord opened your eyes to what was actually being offered to you, to eternal life and the joy of heaven. You may have sat in church over the years or came to youth group as a kid or heard someone talk about Jesus and said, I just don't care. And so there will be more servants that go out. Another round of invites in Matthew chapter 22, verse 4. And again, he sent out other servants saying, tell all those who are invited, I've prepared dinner. My oxen, my fatted calf are killed. All the things are ready. Come to the wedding. Jesus uses parables to try to describe the indescribable. So he's giving a picture of the best thing you could ever be invited to. He says the fatted calf. In their day, that's the best feast you could have. He says that I've got it all ready for you. It's just come. I just want you to come into the wedding. And heaven is indescribable. This is a picture to describe something we can't imagine. Jesus says, it's all ready. Come to heaven. Receive eternal life. I have taken care of everything for you. All you have to do is say yes. But we get another response in verse 5. It says, but some made light of it and went their own way. One to his own farm, another to his own business. So we've got uninterested and unimpressed. They just totally are like, it doesn't sound that great. I'm not that, I make light of it, whatever. And then it says something that all of us have to deal with when God gives an invitation to our life to enjoy his joy. It says they've got farms to take care of and businesses to tend to. So they're busy with work and making money. And no doubt, I'm inviting some of you online, I'm inviting everyone from church, and everyone's inviting their friends. And some people will respond by saying, do you know what I could accomplish with 5 hours on a Sunday in my life? I could do so much. I could get work done, ready for the work week. I could spend money and make a little extra money and store up for myself many goods. And it's not just one Sunday and one day of the summer. It's why people don't give their life to God. Do you know how much I could accomplish if I just kept living my life the way I want to live it? I could do all the work and make all the money. And so what the heck do I want to worry about heaven for? What the heck do I want to reorder my life around some distant day that is described as indescribable joy when I could be busy making money and doing work now? And then we get more examples of why people could get the invitation and not actually show up. It says in verse 6, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. So we have those that are uninterested, those that are too busy, and those that are just plain hard-hearted against God. The king has invited the people of the kingdom, or the people all around this feast, to come and enjoy a feast. He'll cover the bill. They just need to show up. And with that message, some people respond not just with indifference, but actual violence. Harden their heart, shake their fist at God, angry. And, you know, there's certainly, in the beginning, we see some people who could tolerate church. Some people could sit in through church in the park, show up for the food and be like, your message is fine for you, not really interested. But no doubt, other people cannot. There are some people that would say, as soon as you mention God, as soon as I hear the name of Jesus, as soon as you start talking about my need for salvation and the solution for my sins, I am going to violently oppose you. I'm going to storm out of here. I'm going to tell everyone how evil you are. The Gospel of John says, everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. And for many of you, I can say, remember those days when you didn't just find church indifferent, you found church dangerous. You found those who believed members of cults. You thought that the message was absolute foolishness to the point that you had to fight it. And so you have the uninterested and unimpressed, the too busy, and the angry. And no doubt I'll be preaching this week, this day, this afternoon, to all four of those categories. No doubt that those categories will be people that all believers interact with in their own representation of the gospel with their lives. And the message for them is not yours to deal with. There are only two ends to every story. You will accept the free gift and the invitation of salvation unto heaven, or you will be judged. That is the reality of the response to the message. You respond by accepting the free gift, or you respond by accepting the coming judgment. And this is seen in the story today. It says in verse 27, but when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out armies to destroy those murderers and burn up their city. Everyone would understand this very clearly. It sounds violent to our ears, but to reject the king is to be an enemy of his kingdom. If the king sends an invitation, this is hard for us to understand because all of our invitation responses can be, you can check the box of maybe if I feel like it. But in this day, if a king said show up and you said I'm too busy and I don't care, you're an enemy of the king. And so he acted accordingly. And to reject God, to reject the message of his love that is declared in the invitation to join the kingdom freely is to declare yourself an enemy of God. There are only two responses, to accept the gift or to accept judgment. And here is the gospel good news. This message does not end with judgment. This message does not end with an angry king. This message continues to reveal the king as a representative of the heart of God. So what does he do in dealing with all of the people who reject him? He sends out more servants. He continues to search for anyone who would respond by coming to the feast. He says, the wedding is ready. He said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Not because he didn't choose them, but because they didn't respond by saying yes. So he says, therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. And this is the heart of God. Though people be uninterested, unimpressed, too busy, and too angry, he relentlessly pursues people to receive his love and join in the feast of heaven. And this is the good news for all of our lives. You may have been uninterested in God, and he sent another messenger. You may have been too busy for God, and he sent another messenger. You may have been hard-hearted and angry. You may have sworn against the idea of God altogether, and he sends more messengers. And so if we do find ourselves this afternoon preaching this message to those who came for the food and didn't expect to join in the feast, the message is for them also. For whoever would hear this message, they are now being once again welcomed into the free gift of salvation, a loving relationship with God, and citizenship in heaven. And the categories don't stop with just the uninterested, too busy, and the angry. We actually now find the most dangerous spiritual condition you can find yourself in. And this is going to now point us to the beautiful picture of what we're going to do to celebrate baptism today. It says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 10, so the servants went out to the highways and gathered together all they found, both the bad and the good. It is not, the prerequisite to get into the feast is to say yes. And in saying yes, we are now going to get another picture of something we should all be aware of. When the wedding hall was filled with guests, the king came in to see the guests, and he saw a man who did not have a wedding garment. Now, I love the picture of a wedding. This is imagery we still understand today. Any wedding you go to, it might be the last place on earth where there is a dress code that we all know should not be violated. If you get invited to a wedding, even if it says casual, please don't wear sweats. If you get invited to a wedding, even if it's on a distant island and you camp the night before, do everything you can to honor the bride and the bridegroom by putting on the robes that would be worthy of a wedding. And this is where this picture speaks to us. The king finds this person who thought he could show up totally unchanged, just as he was. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you come here without a wedding garment? Why did you show up in rags? Why are you coming to this feast and clearly not respecting the moment by treating it as just another day in the office, another day on the farm?" And then the king said to his servant, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him out to outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So he gets thrown out of the wedding. And weeping of gnashing of teeth, you just get this picture. He's like, "What have I done? What? I got thrown out." This is the most dangerous of all spiritual conditions, is that we could come to the wedding. We could come to the presence of God, stand before the creator of heaven and earth and say, "Lord, I'm coming just as I am, exactly clothed in my own righteousness. I'm coming with my own self-righteousness, good enough, just as I am." The robe that this picture points us to is the brand new robe that all of us receive on the day of salvation. This is imagery that Jesus' audience would have understood. Anyone who knew the Torah would have known the imagery of Isaiah chapter 61, where it says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as the bride adorns herself with jewels, so God, in our salvation, we come to him in filthy rags, and he gives us robes white as snow." And this is now a call to baptism. People say, "Well, why do I need to get baptized? And I just believe it in my heart." Baptism is your public decision declared before God and everyone who will stand on the riverbanks that you no longer trust in your old filthy garments, in your own self-righteousness, in whatever good works you might have presented to your friends and family as to why you never needed a Savior in the first place. It says in Romans, "Now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, that the righteousness of God through faith is available to all who believe." Apart from the law, no longer you. You don't get into the wedding because God saw you from a distant place and said, "Wow, look at that guy, he looks so great." You come in and he gives you brand new articles of clothing. And Paul says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have now put on Christ." If you've never given your life to Christ, you've never accepted the invitation to come to the feast of heaven. You may have never given your life to Christ because you've been uninterested in what heaven is and the eternal life that God has put on your heart. You may have never come to Christ because you were too busy about your own plans for your own life. You may have never come to Christ because you never wanted to believe in God in the first place. But he has sent a messenger today to tell you that he loves you, that he's inviting you to a feast of heaven, that he's paid the price for the feast is not by your life, but by the life of his son who died on the cross for your sins and gives you brand new robes. And all you have to do is accept the invitation. And if you accept the invitation today, or if you've ever accepted the invitation and never had that moment where you have gone into the water representing your old life, your old filthy rags, your old self-righteousness, your old hardened heart, your old too busy about your own plans, your own robe has been washed away. And coming out of the water, you are washed and cleansed, water representing the blood of Christ. And as you get out of the water, you are now presented before God in the robes of righteousness. That is what we are going to do today. And so I'll end as Jesus ends the story. Many are called. I can invite anyone who can hear the amplification of my voice at the park. I can go to those who are at the foot of the stage and they get the invitation and they got it at church the week before. I could send people all the way to the river where people sleep out under the stars. I can invite everyone within earshot of the gospel. I can say, come to the baptismal waters to receive a new robe of righteousness that God will see Christ in you white as snow. But few are chosen. Well, who was chosen? Who was invited in the story? Everyone was invited. Who was chosen? Anyone who has the right robe. Anyone who has taken the free gift of salvation and now has Christ in them. So I'll call any non-believer, anyone that God is prompting their heart, I will call them to a public declaration this afternoon. I call anyone who's watching online. I invite you to give your life to Christ. And no doubt few will be chosen. No doubt there are some of you who know that this message is for you, and in your hardness or in your busyness, you will not come. But for those who come, we're going to pray for them, and we're going to walk down to the river today, and we are going to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we are going to celebrate that they are going to be with all of us who believe at the Feast of Heaven in the robes of Christ.